Today I'd like to welcome to the PodMD studio Dr. Saeed Asadollahi. Saeed is an orthopaedic surgeon based in Victoria. His specialty interest involves hip and knee joint arthroplasty, partial knee joint replacement and revisional surgery, and trauma, both adult and paediatric. Today we'll be discussing the topic of partial knee joint replacement. We do hope that you enjoy this podcast, but please remember that the advice given here is of a general nature and is not intended as specific advice about any given patient. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the doctor, not of PodMD. If you do have a patient on whom you require specific advice, then please seek that advice from a colleague with appropriate expertise in the area.
This podcast is brought to you by Foxo. Foxo is a powerful messaging app built to connect doctors and clinics. Think of it as WhatsApp for health. Foxo is available as a free trial for PodMD listeners. Go to foxo.com/podmd.
Saeed, thanks for talking with us today on PodMD.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me, Sean.
The topic of today's discussion is partial knee joint replacement. Saeed, can you describe for our listeners what is involved in a partial knee joint replacement?
Sure. Partial knee replacement is a surgical procedure for relieving disability and arthritic knee pain. Trauma to the remaining healthy bone and soft tissue is reduced during a partial knee replacement because only the damaged surface of the joints are replaced. And that's a big advantage compared to a full knee replacement with everything in the knee will be replaced, including the kneecap most of the times. The most common presenting symptom is pain over the medial or inside aspect of the knee, which interferes with people's activities of daily living. This includes pain when people try to manage a flight of stairs, walking example to do their shopping, or simply rising from a chair. The pain can also sometimes interfere with the night's sleep. Significant number of patients have difficulty kneeling down or when they try to get up after that. Occasionally, I see patients who also experience mechanical symptoms such as giving way, clicking, and locking because of their knee arthritis.
And how would a patient needing a partial knee replacement typically present?
That's a great question, Sean. The presenting complaint, which is usually pain and a degree of a stiffness, along with findings on the weight-bearing x-ray, which are reduced joint space osteophytes involving the medial or lateral compartment, will confirm the diagnosis. Unicompartmental knee replacement is indicated only when one out of the three compartments of the knee joint is involved. So if we have more than one compartment involved, for example, a bicompartmental or tricompartmental disease, then unfortunately, patient cannot have a unicompartmental knee replacement. So preoperative weight-bearing x-ray would be crucial.
And Saeed, is it possible for a general practitioner to know whether a patient's likely to need a partial or total knee joint replacement?
Look, that I think this is a fantastic question. The only recommendation that I have is avoiding surgery if the radiographic changes do not show bone-on-bone changes. In simple words, if the arthritis is not bad enough, I repeat that, if the arthritis is not bad enough, I don't think the patient should have either a partial or full knee replacement. And the reason for that is there are multiple studies which have shown in the lack of presence of a bone-on-bone arthritis, the outcome of knee replacement can be unpredictable. So if a patient presents with some arthritis involving the knee and he or she has got the symptoms consistent with them, I strongly recommend trying the non-operative pathway first and then referring patient to us.
And what sort of pathology typically leads to a total knee joint replacement?
Thanks for the question. This is excellent. The most common cause of partial knee replacement, universal in Australia, is actually osteoarthritis involving only one compartment of the knee. The much less common causes would be osteonecrosis of the femoral condyle, and in rare cases, in secondary osteoarthritis after trauma. But I would say at least 97% of cases who end up having a partial knee replacement just fall into the category of primary osteoarthritis involving the knee joint.
We're hearing more and more about prehab and rehab in a number of different fields of surgery. For this joint surgery, what is the prehab and rehab program?
For preparation for the surgery, patients will have routine preoperative blood tests that would include full blood count, electrolytes, coagulation profile if the patient is on any blood thinners, and MSU of the urine to ensure patient doesn't have a concurrent UTI. The radiographic series will need to be completed, and that includes getting a full weight bearing x-ray of the knee joint as well as the skyline view. In the pre-admission clinic, our nursing staff will arrange for ECG and chest x-ray, and finally our anesthetist will see the patient before the surgery. As far as the post-operative phase go, we will have a post-operative care program in place to help the patient to recover after their surgery. Post-surgery, they'll be encouraged to walk and try to bend their knee as much as they can. In terms of bending the knee, it's not super critical in the setting of a partial knee replacement, because we've noticed that in the first 2-3 days, excessive knee bending can cause excessive pain, and that causes some inhibition in terms of adhering to the exercises. But I would encourage patients to try to bend their knee as soon as they can, as much as the pain allows. And depending on the social situation and the postoperative conditions, people will have usually 1 or 2 days of hospital stay. A positive attitude is shown to be critical in terms of having a successful recovery. It's not uncommon to see patients to get a partial knee replacement and go home same day.
Thanks, Saeed. Now, can you tell me what the general practitioner can do in firstly assessing the patient, and then perhaps around the perioperative period, and then the recovery phase in patients with this sort of arthritic disease and this sort of surgery?
Thanks, Sean. This is a great question. I think the GP role is fundamental. Appropriate assessment by getting weight-bearing x-ray of the knee and also getting a skyline view of the patella will confirm or rule out the diagnosis. Once we've diagnosed a unicompartmental involvement of the knee joint, then we need to find out whether there are bone-on-bone changes or it's just a partial thickness bone loss. Regardless of the two that I explained, I think the first phase of treatment would be a trial of non-operative treatment, which will be medications, anti-inflammatory tablets, and physiotherapy. I think operative and surgical treatment comes into action and becomes a choice only if a non-operative treatment has been trialed and failed, and we'll be delighted to help them with that.
Well, Saeed, thanks again for your time here today in the PodMD studio. Just to sum things up for us, could you please identify 3 key take-home messages from your podcast today on partial knee joint replacement?
Yeah, I would say that partial knee replacement is really indicated in selected group of patients with osteoarthritis of the knee, where only one compartment is involved. It's not the operation for everyone with knee osteoarthritis. Patients have a significant faster recovery compared to total knee replacement, and they can go back to their activities of daily living that they enjoy, such as golfing and swimming. General practitioners can help us identifying this group of patients who will benefit from this surgery by organizing weight-bearing x-rays of the knee, a skyline view of the patella, and initiating the trial of non-operative management.
Once again, thanks for your time and the insights you've provided.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate it.